Welcome to the Acts in Africa audio recordings. This lesson is entitled Planting the Spirit-Empowered Missionary Church and was taught in Kumasi, Ghana at an Acts 1-8 conference in November 2017. The speaker is Dr. Denny Miller. We hope you enjoy the session and would love to hear your comments. Feel free to contact us at actsinafrica@agmd.org.
Planting the Spirit-Empowered Missionary Church. Now, we're going to be planting Vision 3000. Now, does anyone know how many churches have thus far been planted in Vision 3000? So around 1,000. And so you've gone how many years? 1 year or 2 years? Almost three. You have two to go. Okay, so we have a job to be done. If we're going to plant 3,000 churches by 2020, we've got to do it now. We can't say I'm going to do it in a year or two. What? 4 months and then come the harvest. We can't say that. Jesus said, that's what you say. You say 4 months and then come the harvest. I say the harvest is now. That was Jesus' word. Speaking of urgency, how many you're planning on planting a church? Let me see. You have plans to plant a church. Let me see. Now, this is the decade of Pentecost leaders. Now, if you're not planning on planting a church, put your hand on your head and say, oh, God, forgive me. Okay. That was only a joke. That was only a joke, but it was a serious joke. But every pastor at all times should have a place in their mind where they're going to plant their next church. There always should be a place in your mind. Maybe there's two or three places you're praying about and you're not sure. But there are places in your mind where you're going to plant your next church. And then there is a time. I'm going to plant it December of this year or in March of next year. There is a place and a time. We're going to be talking about that a little bit later in this conference. Let me see. Those who have a place to plant a church, let me see your hands. Okay, I want to talk to you. Where are you going to plant your church? The next church.
The next church, yeah, that is one.
And what is the place?
Domainkru. One of the.
Domai, say.
Ahinkru.
Domai, Ahinkru.
Yes.
I'm going to call it Domai.
Domai?
Okay. Domai, Ahinkru. Ahinkru. No, my eye is okay. So let me see your name. I'm having to remember two things. John Peters. That sounds like a post, John Peters. So Pastor John is going to be planting a church in Doman Ahinkru. All right, I have a question for you. When you plant your church in Doman Ahinkru, what kind of church are you going to plant? Are you just going to plant a church anyhow? Or are you planning on planting a certain kind of church? And that's what this lesson is about. When you plant your next church, I want you to be very intentional. You're going to hear this word. That means on purpose. Be very intentional on the kind of church you plant. See, Jesus was intentional about the kind of church he planted. He didn't just say, go out and gather some people together and sing him praise songs. Jesus was planting a church, and the kind of church that Jesus planted, the kind of church the Apostle Paul planted, the kind of churches we see in the book of Acts, are Spirit-empowered missionary churches. And so this is what we're going to talk about in this session. And we're going to have to move a bit quickly. I'm going to talk about the book of Acts model. What kind of churches were planted in the book of Acts? Then I'm going to talk about the importance of intentionality. The importance of doing things on purpose. Not just planting a church, but planting a certain kind of church and doing it very purposefully. That means doing it on purpose. Doing it, trying to accomplish a certain end. And then I want to talk about a strategy. What can we do to plant? We want to plant churches that will reproduce themselves. We want to plant churches that will plant other churches. You know what we used to say in Malawi in those days when we were planting so many churches? We used to say, no dead-end churches. You know that phrase, dead-end? A dead-end street is a street that you go down that street and you come to the end and there's no roads, there's no way to get out. You come to the dead end. And we say no dead-end churches. Everywhere the gospel goes to, the gospel must go from. That's why Jesus said you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem. But from Jerusalem you'll go to Judea. From Judea you'll go to Samaria. From Samaria you'll go to the end of the earth. No dead-end churches. And we're going to talk about a strategy for planting these Spirit-empowered missionary churches. So let's go to the Book of Acts model. The Book of Acts model. You know, in the Book of Acts, a key strategy of the New Testament church was planting churches. That, we talked about New Testament methodology, proclaiming the gospel under the power of the Holy Spirit, operating under the anointing of the Spirit, with ministries followed by signs and wonders, and then planting Spirit-empowered missionary churches. When Jesus planted his church, you know, Jesus was the first church planter. How many want to be like Jesus than be a church planter? Because Jesus was a church planter. He planted the church. And in a sense, he planted the church of Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem. He planted that church. But Jesus had a plan for his church. He wanted his church to have a certain DNA. But Jesus wanted to pass on to his church a certain DNA. He wanted his church to be like him. And so just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he gave his church a final summary of what the DNA of that church should look like. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He said, this church that I'm planting, I want it to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Then he said, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. He said, I want my church to be missionally focused. I want it to reach Jerusalem, but not just Jerusalem, but to the ends of the earth. And so this is where I get this idea of a Spirit-empowered missionary church. The church that Jesus planted was a Spirit-empowered missionary church. Are we together? Do you get that? I don't want to belabor this. Now, when you go to Gomayankuru, when you go there, I hope you're going to plant a Spirit-empowered missionary church. If we can get this DNA in us, and we can, with Jesus' help and with the power of the Holy Spirit, pass it on to others, it will revolutionize our church and Ghana. 3,000 will become a small number. You will be going to your national leaders and say, you will say, Papa, why have you set the number so low? Because if we plant churches that will plant other churches, there will be an exponential growth. See, you'll go from 1 to 2 to 4 to 8 to 16 to 32 to 64 to 128. The next number, 256, I think. 512, 1,024, and you've only gone about six generations. Because not only is your church planting churches, the churches you plant are planting churches. I remember Dr. Chakwera, the president of the Malawi Assemblies of God, during those decades of harvest. He and I were working closely together. And he used to say this, you know, we in Malawi, the Malawi Assemblies of God, we had about 160 churches and about three large churches. The rest of them were large. They were 300 or 400 churches. They seemed large at the time. They had about 300 or 400 members is what I mean to say. And the rest of them were 20, 30, 40 people. And he used to say the The largest churches in the Malawi Assemblies of God had not even been planted yet. The largest churches in the Malawi Assemblies of God don't even exist yet. And it's true. Now, there's many churches, over 1,000. Many churches, over 1,000. Even the churches in the villages are running 100 and 200. And so don't think of the church as it is now. Some of the large churches that you look at and say, I could never pastor that church, or I wished I could pastor that church, whatever you're saying. Some of these large churches, in years to come, they may become still a strong church, but nowhere near the most powerful church. Because God wants us to plant churches. So Jesus gave us a pattern. Our churches must be empowered by the Spirit. Our churches must be focused on the mission, not focused on the members. Remember this. The church does not exist to bless its members or its pastor. The church does not exist to bless its members. The church is the only organization that exists for the people who are not its members. The church exists for those people who are not its members. The church exists for the world. The church exists for the lost people. The church exists for the nations. The church exists because God has a mission. And then what we see in the book of Acts is this biblical pattern is followed. Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ. You remember that in Acts chapter 8? A lot of people got saved. Demons were cast out, people healed, great baptismal service. You remember that story, Acts 8. Then the apostles heard about the revival in Acts 8. What was their first response? To send Peter and John to ensure that that church was Spirit empowered. See, Philip had gotten them saved, praise the Lord, but nobody was getting Spirit empowered. And they needed to be Spirit empowered because everywhere the gospel goes to, it must go from. And so they prayed with them. Another instance, Acts chapter 19. Paul arrives in Ephesus. He finds 12 disciples. Remember that story? Now, what was Paul's intention in Ephesus? He was going to reach the city and the entire country with the gospel. Look at Acts chapter 19, verse 10. It said, after 2 years, everyone who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. That was Paul's goal. So he comes into Ephesus, and the first question he asks is, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Why did he ask that? Because he wanted them to have their prayer language? No, he asked that question because he's mobilizing the church to reach Asia. The first thing Paul did was he went into the city full of the Holy Spirit himself, and then he made sure his church was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he made sure they understood why they were being empowered by the Holy Spirit. You begin teaching your people that they're witnessing, and God, the Holy Spirit works that they are witnesses, and the Holy Spirit works inside their hearts and convicts them. Then you can say, God will help you to be a witness. He will fill you with His Spirit and His power. He will make people like Peter, Peter was afraid to talk about Jesus, but then he was filled with the Spirit and became powerful. Okay, so that's the biblical pattern. Now, I want to talk about intentionality. I used that word at the beginning. When you go into Domai to plant this new church, I recommend that you go with intentionality. That you have in your mind the kind of church you want that to be. You're not just going to plant a church anyhow. You're going to plant a certain kind of church. Now you have two choices. You can plant one of two kinds of churches. You can plant a crying church, a weak crying church, or you can plant a Spirit-empowered missionary church. You know what I mean by a weak crying church? How many have planted a church and you had to spend the next 5 years taking care of that church? Have you ever done that? Some of you in your church? And every Monday morning, the pastor's on your doorstep crying. He said, not enough money came in this week. Could you help me? We don't have any food in our house. You can, if you want to, you can plant 3,000 crying churches. Then you'll not have time to do anything else till Jesus comes except take care of those crying churches. You can do that. Or you can plant the kind of church Jesus planted. A church that is full of the Holy Spirit, that is committed to the mission of God, and that understands God's mission, and is ready to mobilize itself to reach the lost. But to do this, you must move with intentionality. In other words, we need to ask the question, well, we're just skipping that part because it's gone soon too much. To do this, we must ask the question, what must I do to plant a Spirit-empowered missionary church? Number one, envision in your mind what you want that church to be. I want you to see that church in Dubai. Within 1 year, it's planting another church. Or at least it's having plans. And the people are going out reaching the lost. By that time, the pastor is being supported by the tithes of the church. The people are supporting the church. By that time, the church is reaching out into its community. The people are full of the Holy Spirit. The pastor is developing leadership in the church. He's teaching them how to reach the lost. They're going out and reaching the lost within a short time. This doesn't take 2 or 3 years. Within 3 months, the people can already be mobilized. You know, in those days I spent in Malawi, you know, I participated in church planting. I myself was not a church planter because I was a Bible school teacher. But many times I would go with the Bible school. From the Bible school, we would plant churches. We would plant 3 to 9 churches a year from the Bible school. And then I would go with the student, with a district or a section or a local church, and I would go preach the church planting crusade. And they wanted me to go because my white face would draw a crowd. I said, oh, there's a white man preaching over there. So everybody in the village comes over to look at the white man. But this is what we did in those last years. When we would go to a church planting crusade, very quickly, in Malawi, this is how the church typically plants a church, from the Bible school. On Friday, we take the students to a village or to an area that we're going to plant the church. We've already chosen, usually, a classroom where the church is going to be doing. And so on Friday, we go there, and some of the students begin to set up the schoolyard, put lights up, and get the generator going, and get the Jesus film ready. And then the other students go into the village and they tell people we're having a crusade at the schoolyard. The first night, we preach, show happy the Jesus film. During that, say for 200 came, about 20 come to Christ. And we say, okay, on Sunday morning we're going to start a church over there in that room, in the center of our church. Next day, we have witnessing during the day, maybe some singing in the day, have another crusade at service at night, and show the rest of the Jesus film. And by this time, there's about 500 people have come, and maybe 100 have come to Christ. And then we say, okay, here's your new pastor, it's one of the students. Here's your new pastor. Tomorrow morning, in that schoolroom, we're going to have a new assembly of our church. That's how we do it. Do you do it similar? But anyway, we do it that way. Well, so Sunday morning comes and about 10 or 15 people show up for church. You've got a new church, 10 or 15 people. Now let me tell you what we did in those churches at the end. Okay, it's the first Sunday morning. We have to preach. We're going to preach a sermon. You know what we preach on? The baptism in the Holy Spirit. We tell them this is going to be a missionary church. This is going to be a church planting church. And if you're going to participate, you're going to have to be empowered by the Spirit. And we preach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And almost every time, at least some few are filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it's time for the first offering. You know, a church has a first offering. You know what we did? We received a missionary offering. This is the first offering. We said, this is going to be a missionary church. And we're going to plant other churches. So we need some money to plant other churches. So we're going to receive a missionary offering to plant church. This is the first offering. Some of your churches are 20 years old and you haven't received your first missionary offering. But this is the first offering in the church. And we say, this is going to be a church planting church. And the people, they go, woo! They do that. Did they do that in God? what the ladies do. I don't do it very well. And we receive an offering, and it's usually very small. It's not much. It's a message. We set a marker. This church is about being empowered with the Spirit, and this church is about fulfilling the mission of God. So, if you're going to plant Spirit-empowered missionary church in Domai, what are some things you need to do? And this is a question for everybody. Let's help our brother John out. If he's going to plant a Spirit-empowered missionary church, what are some things he needs to do to make sure it's Spirit-empowered? What must he do? Okay, somebody must preach on the baptism in the Holy Spirit and pray with people. And I would say the man that is going to pastor that church must be full of the Holy Spirit. And he must understand what kind of church that he's going to be pastoring. You don't just put him out there and say, tell them that Jesus loves them and leave them. You give him a strategy. Okay, what else must you do? You must go in the power of the Holy Spirit. You must go prayerfully. You must be ready to challenge demonic forces in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is going to take a certain kind of man or woman to lead this church. And if you don't have that kind in your church, start training them. Train church planters right now in your church. Okay, you want the church to be a missionary church. What are you going to do? How are you going to make this church into a missionary church? All right, once people receive Christ as their Savior, you lead them into the baptism of the Holy Spirit with a proper understanding that they're being filled in order to participate in church planting and witnessing and the ministry of the church. Ahim, what did you have to say?
What I do in my church, that the people, we make them to understand that they are saved to save others. Uh-huh. So they need to be filled with the power. The same power that brought us to that place, that power will carry them to another place.
Okay.
And so it continues. The Spirit infilling continues with the people, and we have those missionary people.
And so you don't just teach your church, but the new church.
Yes.
The people are taught that they are part of God's mission. They have a role to play. And then very quickly, the church forms, the pastor forms a missions committee, and they identify a place or places where they're going to plant a church. This is when they're just a small beginning church. You may only have 3 men in the church, and maybe 12 women and some children. But you're already identifying a place to start a church. You might not start it next week, but you begin praying for that. Okay. I think you know what you can do. Some of these things that you can do to start a church. Let me tell you a story about a young man by the name of Ruben Kachala. When I was teaching at the Bible school in Malawi, Ruben Kachala, he was a man from the village. He came from the village and began studying in the school. But we saw very quickly that Ruben Kachala was a special man. He was highly intelligent and highly motivated. And we watched him in the Bible school, and God used him. He was full of the Holy Spirit. Kachala began in the diploma level, but he transferred to the degree level. So it's the higher level leadership. So here's how it is in Malawi. I don't know how it is in Ghana. But in Malawi, often, if you graduate from the vernacular Bible school, the one where you study in Chichewa, you go to the village and pastor. If you graduate with a diploma, you go to the training centers and pastor. But if you graduate with a degree, you go to the city and you pastor a big church in the city. Okay. That's generally how it was in Malawi. But Reuben graduated with a degree. And so they asked Reuben, where do you want us to place you? He said, God has called me to be a missionary. He was a pastor, but he said, God's called me to be a missionary pastor. He said, I want you to find the place in Malawi where there are fewest churches, and I want to be posted to that place. And then he married this beautiful city girl that wore these nice dresses, and he told her, Elizabeth, we're going to the village to start churches. And so they put him in a place called Nkanda. Nkanda. I didn't know much about Nkanda, but one day, Ruben came to me and said, Pastor, would you come to Nkanda and preach in my church? I said, I would love to, Ruben. So we took some students with us and we went to Nkanda. And we drove 120 kilometers on a tarmac road. Then we saw a sign said in Uganda, and we got off on a gravel road. We drove another 50 kilometers on a gravel road. Then we saw another sign said in Uganda, and we got off on a dirt road. And we drove, I don't know how many kilometers, because you don't measure it in kilometers and dirt, you measure it in time. We drove another 30 minutes. So we came to Makonda, and as we were driving into Makonda, Reuben was standing in the middle of the road. It was a small village. It had some shops, two or three of those shops, no electricity. You know how people, so I don't have to explain this to you. But Reuben was standing in the middle of the road like this. So we pulled up and said, "Greetings, Reuben." He said, "Greetings, teacher." I said, "Get in the car and we'll go to your church." He said, "Yes, we will, but first let's go to my office." I said, "Reuben, you have an office?" He said, "Yes, I have an office." And so he took us to a small building, and there was a big sign with white and red letters over a door in the building. The building was 2 meters wide and 2 meters deep. That was his office. But there was a large sign that said, "Assemblies of God Mission Station, Uganda." And he said, "Pastor, this is my office." I said, "Reuben, this is a very nice office." We went inside his office, and there was one chair. That's all. There's no desk. There's one chair in the middle of this 2 meter by 2 meter office. He said, "Pastor, this is my office." I said, "Reuben, I like your office very much." But he said, "Look at the wall. And on this wall, covered 2 meters, this wall, 2 meters, this wall, 2 meters, was a map of the area that he was pastoring here. It was not a map that you buy downtown at the shop. It was a map he had drawn with his own hand. And he said, "I have located 250 villages that do not have a church. And God has sent me to this area to make sure every one of these places has a church." He said, "How many churches do you have now, Reuben?" He said, "Right now, four. We had this one here, and we had three more." He said, "I will take you to them later." I said, "Reuben, who is pastoring these churches?" He said, "This is how I do it. I take my men, and we go into a village, and we preach the gospel. And some people get saved. And then for about 3 weeks, I go to the church and preach, and I look. And I preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when someone is filled with the Spirit, I say, 'You're the pastor.'" And then every Saturday, the pastor has to come to Makonda, and I teach them what they're going to preach. I give them the sermon they're going to preach the next day. And then they go preach it. I said, "Well," and he said, "And not only that, Pastor, I've started the Bible school." I said, "You started the Bible school?" I said, "What are you teaching right now?" He said, "Hermeneutics." Hermeneutics. I said, "Reuben, you're teaching hermeneutics to these people in the village?" He said, "Pastor, they must know how to properly interpret Scripture." I said, "You're right, Reuben, keep teaching hermeneutics." Well, God used Reuben in that area. Finally, you know, the Bible school said, "That's the kind of man we want leading our missions department in the Bible school." So he was invited to the Bible school and became the Bible school mission director. Soon after that, he started a mission to the Muslims, Gujarati Indians in Lalong. A lot of Indians, Islamic Indians. Soon after that, he was appointed the national mission director of the Assemblies of God in Lalong. He resigned that. He said, "God is calling me to be a missionary to India." Well, the Malawi Assemblies of God wasn't able to send missionaries to India with this structure at the time. So they partnered with another structure in South Africa, and Reuben went to North India. He said, "Send me to a part of India where there's no churches, you know, to Northern India." But Reuben, he understood church. See, when Paul went into Ephesus, your job is not just to pastor a church, it's to reach a region. Let me see how many pastors are here. Let me see your pastors. Okay, I'm firing you. Every one of you, I'm firing you. Don't tell Pastor Perform Monson I'm fired. I've fired you, you're no longer there. But I'm going to rehire you. You are now a missionary, Pastor. You're not in your church just to preach and make people feel good and tell them they can be blessed if they'll give an offering to the pastor. You're there to mobilize them. You're there to begin to look around. Look around and say, where are those places where God wants me to plant his next church? Let me close with this. I went into the northern Malawi to a place called Ruby, and I was talking to Pastor Mahoney. He was an old man, Pastor Mahoney. Pastor Mahoney has gone to be with the Lord now. But he was at the Assembly of God Church in Ruby. This is in northern Malawi. And I said, Pastor Mahoney, how many branches does your church have? You know, branches in a church plant. That's what they say in Malawi. He said, I think right now we have 26. He said, but I'm not sure because some of my branches are already branching. Pastor Mahoney was pastoring churches that had DNA, missionary DNA. And so this is what I'm saying. This church you plant this time, make it a special church. It's the first of many to follow. And the churches that you're planting, go in there with a plan that this church is going to be very powerful. It's not just going to be a little church. It's going to be a mission station. Plant mission stations. This is going to be a place from where the gospel goes. And if it's going to be such a place, these people are going to have to understand the mission of God. They're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The pastor's going to have to be very zealous and mobilize them and take them out. He's going to have to teach them how to give and how to give to the mission of God and how to commit themselves to the work of Christ. And so, during these next 3 years, 18, 19, and 20, I see you're going to plant way more than 3,000 churches. You will if you'll start planting missionary churches, because within a year or two, they need people to plant. It don't take a lot of money to plant a church. A village church can plant another village church without a lot of money. It don't take a lot of money, it just takes commitment to the will of God. But anyway, I want us to pray. Stand with me, please. And I want you to pray this prayer. Everyone stand. I'm sorry, I didn't say that clearly. I want you to say, Lord, make me a missionary pastor. Make me a missionary pastor. Father, now in the name of Jesus, I pray. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, make me a force. Make me a catalyst for missions. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Say hallelujah. Okay. Brother Mark, come. In transition, I'll work all right. This is on the top school.
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. We have one worship session for today. And then our strategy session. And this next session is a very, very important topic. It's a topic that should confirm everyone. We're going to talk about what it takes to have a Pentecostal Bible. Just as Dr. Miller talked to us about the importance of having not just any kind of church, having a Pentecostal church, missionary, spirit and power church. Well, we don't want to have just any kind of Bible school either. And we want to have a spirit and power Pentecostal Bible school. And we are thrilled that Reverend Jimmy Poole is going to come and teach on this subject. And he's teaching about something he knows very well. He is, for many years, he's been working in Liberia and training. He is the director, principal, president of the degree program of survival school there. He is a student, a doctoral program of PAD and a dissertation stage, and a dear friend. And we are thrilled that you're going to come and help us understand how can the Bible schools, the Pentecostal Bible.